In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus is the great prophet sent by God. So he speaks the word of God clearly. He also speaks in parables. He tells what will be, even as he himself is the fulfillment of all things. To understand the text that Jesus speaks today, we must first of all understand that Israel is always a shadow of the church. Israel did not exist for the sake of Israel, but Israel existed so it might point ahead to the church. Israel was never the reality. They were a shadow. The church in Christ, that's the reality. And so Israel was delivered by the blood of the Lamb and the Red Sea, because the church is delivered by the blood of the Lamb of God and by the sea of baptism. Israel was the people of God because the church is the people of God. Israel had the dwelling of God among men, the temple, because the incarnate dwelling of God dwells among his church. Israel is a shadow of a greater reality. They always were. So Jesus adds one more shadow, one more point of comparison between the church and Israel. Destruction. In the text before us, Jesus is speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD by the Romans. But he is also speaking about the destruction of the world at the last day. How seamlessly the great prophet intertwines the shadow with the reality, speaking about both, so that men, women, and children might take warning and flee. Since 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, Israel stopped being a shadow. So now they are simply one nation, just like any other nation. Jesus' urgent warning was for those who were living in Jerusalem at the time of the Romans, even as it is for us who await his return. The destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans was far greater than what Nebuchadnezzar did, far greater even than Sodom. So flee, Jesus warned. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait even until the afternoon. Flee immediately. Don't go back to your house to grab your phone, your jacket, or your paperwork. Flee immediately. Don't look back like Lot's wife. But look to the hills. Pregnant women would struggle along with those who are nursing infants because their flight is hindered. Winter will slow them down, and so would the Sabbath. So if they delayed, if they prioritized something else first, if they thought they had more time, they would be overcome by destruction. Jesus speaks of the shadow and of the reality. His point for us is not, don't get married, don't have kids. But his point is, if you delay, if you think there is always a tomorrow, you might very well be swept up in destruction. Don't let possessions or family keep you from believing his word. How easily we can become materialistic and earthly minded. How easily we can love family more than our God. Jesus says we don't have time for such things. Satan takes these good gifts of God and tempts us to love them and to be devoted to them at the expense of our faith. And so Luther has taught us to sing, rightly so, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though all may be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. As much as we love the gifts of God, and as much as we should give thanks to God, even for the earthly possessions that we have, we cannot love them above God's word. They cannot save us from hell. As much as we love our spouse and our children, and rightly so, we cannot love them more than God, because they cannot protect us from what is about to happen. So let us heed Jesus' warning and flee to the hills, for our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. To be a bit more specific, Jerusalem is not a picture or shadow of the world's destruction. Remember, Jerusalem is an image of the church. And so the destruction of Jerusalem is an image of the destruction of the church visible, the faithless church that has fallen away from Christ. In other places in Scripture, God calls this faithless, hypocritical church Sodom, Egypt, and Babylon. Not all who say, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not all 10 virgins enter the wedding feast. Not all who call themselves Christians, show up to church on Sunday, or even read the Bible at home are actually Christians. Hypocrites can deceive even themselves. Jerusalem had the outward trappings of the right religion, the temple, the sacrifices. They were even called the city of the great king. But they had not faith. They were called the people of God from the right ancestral descendants. But they had not faith. They even had the outward piety, but they had not faith. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they had not faith in the one to whom those scriptures pointed. Instead, they crucified him and stoned Stephen, and rejoiced when King Herod beheaded the Apostle James, and even they themselves, Jerusalem, that is Sodom, persecuted the Christians. False prophets had turned the holy city of God into Sodom, Egypt, and Babylon, enemies of God and his word, because they viewed themselves as the reality and not Christ. They viewed their ethnicity as more important than faith in the one who had come. False prophets try to do the same today. Destroy the church of God. Yes, everyone reads the Bible. Everyone says they teach the word of God rightly. But how many teach only themselves or only you and jump over Christ and his work? These are hard times in which we live. For 2,000 years, the gospel has gone throughout the world. For 2,000 years, heresy has picked apart the church visible. How many heresies have been in this world? Far too many to enumerate. For 2,000 years, then, the church has endured this great tribulation of false teaching. Yes, the wars and the rumors of wars, but chiefly, the great tribulation is the false church and false teaching. And so it's easy to get distracted by the intellectuals, either of yesterday or of today, men who speak well and have a lot of smart things to say, but have not the wisdom of God, and so they do not see Christ. How easy to be distracted by historicity, by ceremonies and beauty. But what is the pastor actually preaching? How easy to be distracted by robust singing and zeal. But what is the church actually preaching? Distractions slow our flight because they direct us away from Christ. Like Lot's wife, they direct us backwards. Christ says he is coming soon. We think we will probably die first. The devil believes Christ. He knows his time is short, and so he uses our possessions and our family. He even uses the scriptures to tempt us. Did God really say, "Jump down from the temple, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and in their arms they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against the stone, the devil quoted to Jesus. The devil twists and abuses and manipulates scripture to kill the soul. These days are hard. These days are short. False teaching never strengthens faith. Jerusalem ran out of time, and so will the earth. Destruction is near. Christ actually has cut these days shorter for the sake of his elect. So learn from Jerusalem. Learn from the shadow and flee. Flee to the hills, that is, flee to Mount Calvary, to Christ crucified, for you have but one defense and one fortress. You are not left at the mercy of men, of denominations, of a pastor. You have the clear word of God. You are not left at the mercy of your own intellectual abilities, your own piety, or your own feelings. You have the clear word of God. Yes, these days are short, but do not be afraid. God is coming not to destroy you, but he is coming to save you. He is coming to you to rescue you from every enemy, to crush Satan under your feet, and to throw death into hell. He comes to give you the kingdom that he prepared for you from before the creation of the world. This is why he bore your sins. This is why he died in your place. This is why he rose, so that you might have a place to which you can flee. Flee to the mountains, to Mount Calvary, to the incarnate God, crucified and risen for you. Vultures know where the corpse is. Christians know where the body of God is. At the altar. Take and eat, this is my body. Here he comes to strengthen and sustain you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Each of us must watch out for false prophets. They demand that we look here or there or run to and fro, but don't be distracted. They demand our attention, that if we just did this, moved here, lived like this, then we would be ready. Don't be distracted. You know the word of God and where Christ is present. You know why he is present, to forgive you all your sins so that you might have the strength to endure whatever is about to happen. Though the great tribulation wreaks havoc on this world, you have no need to fear, for God is with you. Though men run aimlessly, frantically searching, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and your cup overflows. Though men speak falsehoods, you know what his word says. Time is running out. Destruction is coming. Jerusalem was destroyed, and judgment begins with the household of God, Scripture says. So don't be sluggish. Don't look back. You have little time, but neither be afraid. Meet these days with joy and gladness, for it is your Lord and Redeemer who comes for you. You have his word. He comes for salvation. He comes with healing in his wings. He comes to raise you up to the highest heights. Not one fire will harm you. Not one smoke will choke you. Not even one ember will fall near your feet, for you rest safe and secure in his pierced arms. You have his word. Don't get distracted. Believe his word. And flee to the hill. Flee to Christ crucified. Flee to Mount Calvary. Flee to the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.